Operation Myth, a bad novel debunked. A curious discovery was that Adolf Hitler left a legally binding will, now a bland detail directing that his corpse be immediately destroyed by fire. Even so, what was the sense behind the killing of Hitler's cook? Conceivably, the precautious objective was for the real Führer to escape Berlin, for the simple reason that he was an imposter in the flesh, since Landskorporal Hitler's 1918 shady miracle cure at Pazewalk Hospital. At the end of the war, the Potsdam Conference convened to settle on how to administer punishment to defeated Nazi Germany. It was held in Potsdam, Germany, from July 17 to August 2, 1945. At an opening mealtime reception, Soviet leader Joseph Stalin informed U.S. President Harry S. Truman that the Nazi Führer did not commit suicide, but had probably escaped. However, some British intelligence envoys reacted skeptically. In November 1945, Trevor Roper was ordered by Dick White of MI6 to investigate the circumstances of Adolf Hitler's death and to rebut the propaganda of the Soviet government that Hitler was alive and living somewhere in the West. Hugh Trevor Roper was an Oxford historian who interviewed the last people to be in the Berlin bunker headquarters with the dictator. His most famous book, The Last Days of Hitler, 1947, quickly became the official version concerning the suicide of the Nazi Führer in his bunker abode, shortly after marrying Eva Braun. In defiance, Trevor Roper was subjected to bullying from a Jewish terrorist group, Lehi, also referred to as the Stern Gang, for his overemphasis of Hitler's charisma. Robert G. L. Waite, a historian who began a psychoanalytic method to examine Hitler, The Psychopathic God, Adolf Hitler, 1977, stated that conventional historians like Trevor Roper and Alan Bullock, Hitler, A Study in Tyranny, 1952, rightly looked into Hitler's military way of thinking, yet they seemed to be tongue-tied over his fundamental problem. The superstitious dictator was mentally ill and beset with irrational nightmares. Understanding the outlook of the Führer was a bit like figuring out a Satanist's craze. Trevor Roper was encouraged by British intelligence to show that the Nazi tyrant did not escape from Berlin, but committed suicide in his Chancellery Führer bunker. He chided a German flight of judgment as a desire to invent legends and fairy tales. On the other hand, German historians like Anton Joachim Thaler looked at thousands of pages of data made public after inquiries into Hitler's death. Joachim Thaler wrote, "On May 25, 1952, the former U.S. Chief of Intelligence, who had allegedly conducted an official investigation into Hitler's disappearance, stated that he found no proof, only rumors of Hitler's death." Anton Joachim Thaler, The Last Days of Hitler, The Legends, The Evidence, The Truth, 1996. Colonel William F. Heimlich was an infantry officer in Europe during World War II, participating in the Battle of the Bulge, and was in the company of the first U.S. troops to go into Berlin. William Heimlich served as Assistant Chief of Staff for U.S. Intelligence in Berlin. After the war, Colonel Heimlich was quoted in a 1952 issue of Police Gazette. "The investigation of the stains on the couch, where Hitler allegedly killed himself according to the reports, showed that the stains were human blood, but not of the blood groups of either Hitler or Eva Braun. That critical forensic indicator was consistent with clues that a look-alike cook and not Adolf Hitler himself was shot in the Führer's Berlin bunker quarters on April 30, 1945. Perhaps the real tyrant had been able to get away, and Trevor Roper's suicide report was in some way mistaken. According to the Trevor Roper explanation, there were no onlookers to the dictator's bunker suicide. Witnesses said they heard a loud gunshot shortly past 3 o'clock in the afternoon. After waiting a few minutes, Hitler's valet, Heinz Ling, and Secretary Martin Bormann opened the door to the small study and stumbled on the dead bodies of the just-married Führer and Eva Braun. However, the eyewitness testimonies did not see eye to eye on a variety of fine points. A bystander described examining the body of the Führer slumped lifeless next to deceased Eva Braun on an elongated, upholstered couch. But another witness said that he observed Hitler's body isolated seated on a chair by itself near a corner of the bunker room. An offhand assessment gave evidence of a traumatic gun blast wound in Adolf Hitler's mouth, while conflicting information claimed the injury was next to his eyebrow. But as indicated in Adolf Hitler, The Definitive Biography, 1976, by historian John Willard Toland, the Soviet journalist Lev Bezymensky made a claim in 1968 that the autopsy by the Forensic Medical Commission of the Red Army proved that there was no bullet hole in the cranium. The skull proving that there was no bullet hole had been conveniently destroyed, Toland scornfully voiced disapproval. Hitler's valet afterward said he caught a whiff of burnt almonds in the bunker study, a frequent observation made concerning the scent of toxic cyanide. Those facts, and other details that were released by the Soviet KGB in 1992, led to the current dual-method portrayal of Hitler shooting himself with a pistol while sinking his teeth into a cyanide capsule. It was often said Hitler killed his dogs, Blondie and Wolf, before committing suicide. Hitler officially instructed his adjutant or assisting SS officer, Sturmbannführer Otto Gunsche, to oversee the cremation of his body after his death. The bunker witnesses supposed that newlywed Eva Braun poisoned herself because her dead body had no visible wounds. Despite that, historian John Toland guardedly offered striking details, only one empty poison capsule had been found in the Chancellery bunker study. In conclusion, there was not much accord to the aforesaid official suicide story. Yet there were possible strategic witnesses to a different version, which Trevor Roper and various British intelligence envoys wanted to write off. For instance, author Gregory Douglas, reporting in The Military Advisor in the 1990s, made known that the former chief of the Gestapo, Heinrich Müller, had apparently passed through to Switzerland and later worked for the CIA. Müller evidently knew that a Hitler double was put to death in the Berlin bunker, and he allegedly stated, "I strongly assume that Otto Gunsche had his doubts," in other words that he suspected that he was not dealing with the real Hitler in the final days. In his book Gestapo Chief, The 1948 Interrogation of Heinrich Müller, 1995, writer Gregory Douglas said that he first met Heinrich Müller in the United States in 1965 and acquired covert transcripts made in 1948. Douglas claimed that Müller had confessed to a CIA interrogator that the Führer fled Berlin full of life on April 22, 1945. "We had a new Hitler," Müller it would seem admitted, his double. The Gestapo leader evidently believed the doppelganger was drugged at the time he died. If he had been captured alive, there would have been serious problems as you can imagine. Gregory Douglas claimed that he possessed a dictation of a 1948 debriefing of the former Gestapo head Heinrich Müller by an American CIA official. "Müller gave it to me and I promised I would not publish it until his death," Douglas said in an interview. As luck would have it, according to the German chemist and Holocaust denier Germer Rudolph, Gregory Douglas is Heinrich Müller's biological nephew and his real name is Peter Stahl. Ironically, Dick White, the intelligence officer who allegedly persuaded Trevor Roper to examine Hitler's death, had a prominent look-alike as well. The head of the British Secret Intelligence Service during the 1950s and 60s resembled the famed actor David Niven, as described by ex-agent Peter Wright, Spycatcher, 1985. David Niven was a colonel in the Army Kinematograph Section in 1944, when he supposedly helped put together a doppelganger mission to impersonate British General Bernard Montgomery. The comedown of Trevor Roper's influence began in 1983, when as a director of Times newspapers he endorsed the so-called Hitler Diaries. Stern magazine claimed to have received the Führer's diaries smuggled out from East Germany. The diaries were alleged to be part of a shipment of documents recovered from an aircraft crash near Dresden in April 1945. Hugh Trevor Roper inspected the dictator's diaries and declared, "I am now satisfied that the documents are authentic." But within a few weeks, the West German Bundesarchiv revealed that forensic scientist Julius Grant had demonstrated beyond a doubt that the Hitler diaries were fakes made on modern paper using modern ink and crammed with chronological errors. The Hitler diaries' humiliation was portrayed in the 1991 British comedy TV miniseries Selling Hitler. The news media around the world laid blame on what seemed to be the most expensive fraud in the annals of publishing. Some critics straightforwardly inferred that Trevor Roper's crowd was trying to fabricate modern history. Other experts similarly authenticated the forged diaries. David Irving, a British writer specializing in the military history of World War II, provisionally declared the dictator's diaries valid. Irving served a 10-month prison term in 2006 for glorifying the German Nazi Party. Denial is a 2016 film that centers on a legal battle against David Irving. A considered review acknowledged, Trevor Roper's initial endorsement of the alleged diaries raised questions in the public mind not only about his wisdom as a historian but also about his integrity, because the Sunday Times, a newspaper to which he regularly contributed book reviews and of which he was an independent director, had already paid a considerable sum for the right to serialize the diaries. Wikipedia.org. At length, the hottest vexation to Trevor Roper's better judgment transpired in 2009. Researchers from the University of Connecticut released the results of a DNA test on Hitler's skull that they said proved it did not belong to the Nazi leader. The remains were that of a female aged between 20 and 40 years old, according to DNA analysis. In 1968, Soviet journalist Lev Bezymensky wrote that Hitler's skull had been destroyed beforehand. When a portion of Adolf Hitler's skull went on display at Russia's Federal Archives Service in 2000, a supervisor at Russia's Forensic Medicine Institute Archives Department stated with reservation that he had not seen documents providing evidence that this is the skull of Hitler. As presently avowed by Connecticut archaeologist and bone specialist Nick Bellantoni, the skull bone with a bullet hole shown in Russia came from an unknown woman, not the German leader. The Trevor Roper household version no longer presents much credible proof. It cannot establish a single certainty to the Berlin bunker suicide. Former Soviet agents later said Hitler's remains, buried in Magdeburg, except parts of his skull and jaw, were burnt in 1970 and thrown into the Biedritz River, in what was then East Germany. The orders to destroy the remains of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun came from Yuri Andropov, at that time head of Russia's KGB security agency. A catalogue on Hitler that was classified for the Soviet Intelligence Bureau was codenamed Operation Myth. In the past, the Trevor Roper story seemed aptly portrayed in Hitler, The Last 10 Days, a 1973 film starring Alec Guinness, depicting the final days leading up to Adolf Hitler's suicide. The disturbing movie about Hitler in the Berlin bunker was remembered as an intense message and appeared to be accurate in subject matter, according to Trevor Roper. At present though, the Trevor Roper account is catching the fame of Downfall, Der Untergang, a 2004 epic drama movie directed by Oliver Hirschbiegel, showing the last frustration of Adolf Hitler. A scene in the film, in which Hitler blurts out an angry rant after sensing that his war is lost, became a winner of internet parody videos. In the absurdly tactless clips, new subtitles were added as laughable reactions to our modern daily life. Thousands of such bunker parody videos were distributed on the internet. At long last, Trevor Roper's inquiry did not lay enough emphasis on the fact that there were two supposed Hitler cadavers, the fake bad double and the real burnt corpse. How far were they moved? Finding the real Hitler's corpse cremated in the Chancellery Garden did not positively prove that he died in the Berlin Führer bunker. Indeed, one of the Hitler bodies was most likely ditched at its final location during the passing mayhem, perhaps with the huge troop deployment in the southern suburbs of Berlin by General Steiner. Were the cadavers evidently switched? John Toland wrote, skeptics wondered why Stalin had spread the story in 1945 that Hitler had escaped when he knew the body had been found. The Soviet correspondent Bezymensky said Moscow made the decision to hold the forensic details in reserve in case someone might try to slip into the role of the Führer saved by a miracle. In other words, conceivably one more Hitler double was potentially on the loose and possibly responsible for brutal war crimes. Even so, a psychologically unstable imposter need not make the same decoy mistake twice. He could incite ethnic cleansing and mesmerize populations once more by way of a white supremacist skinhead's guise, for instance, rather than an old-fashioned comic mustache. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet memory will die. Killer on the Road. Doors, Riders on the Storm, 1971. Anthony Hopkins won an Emmy Award for his portrayal of Hitler in The Bunker, a 1981 made-for-television film. Unable to destroy the heavily fortified Berlin Führer Bunker, the Soviet Red Army blew up its interior in 1947 and filled the remains with sand. In 1959, the East German government also tried to demolish the bunker. But since it was near the Berlin Wall, the zone stayed wrecked and deserted until after reunification. During the construction of residential housing and other buildings on the site in 1988-89, several underground sections of the old bunker were uncovered by work crews and were for the most part destroyed. In 2006, a small plaque was installed with a diagram of the bunker to mark the location. However, almost 2,000 kilometers in the distance on the map, below Berlin, a decoy bunker enclosed in a hideaway of the suspected southern redoubt site was analyzed with a network of computers for detailed concurrences. In Great Britain, it was barely a murmur that the Nazi tyrant had escaped in 1945 from the ruins of Berlin. But in the Soviet Union, it was lectured in all public schools. For the most part, Hugh Trevor Roper's rationalization is still the most well-regarded tale. But as one American military officer stated, upon reviewing the actual facts, not a single insurance company would ever pay out a cent to similar claims based on such scant, non-conclusive evidence. H.D. Bauman's Hitler's Escape, 2014, questions Trevor Roper's account. Robert G. L. Waite of Williams College set off a debate by bringing the psychoanalytic approach to studies concerning Hitler. Documenting accounts of the dictator's beliefs and phobias, perhaps Waite rightly summed up Trevor Roper's official report when he wrote, "The death scene was taken from a bad novel written by a person with no taste."